Zion, Vishnupad, Paramahamsa, Parvajakacharya, Shishin Mad, Langris, A.C. Bhakti, Swami Shilpalupad, Kijai. Srimad Bhagavatam, Grantaraj, Kijai. All glory assembled devotees, all glory assembled devotees, all glory assembled devotees, all glory Shri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Today we're reading from the glorious Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8. Chapter 7, entitled Lord Shiva Saves the Universe, and it is text 22, Vaindu. Just read after me. Twam Ekaha.
Is it Tan Brahma?
Is it 22 or 27? No, this one.
It's 27.
Wait a second.
Like on Sunday.
That's a different verse then.
Okay.
Not 22. Which verse is it then?
Right.
Okay, that's not the one. Which one are we at?
27.
This is the one. 24.
25?
Verse 24. Tvam Brahma Paramam Bhuyam. Sada Sad Bhava Pavanam. Okay. It's verse 24. Slight correction. Okay, now we can repeat. Tvam Brahma Paramam Guyam. Tvam Brahma Paramam Guyam. Sad, asad, bhava, bhavanam, sad, asad, bhava, bhavanam, nana, shaktibir, abhatas, nana, shaktibir, abhatas,
nana, shaktibir, abhatas,
Tvam
Atma
Jagat
Ishwaraha.
Tvam Atma Jagat Ishwaraha. Tvam Brahma Paramam Guyam. Sadasad Bhava Bhavanam. Nana Shaktabir Abhatas. Tvam Atma Jagadishwaraha. Tvam Brahma Paramam Guyam. Sada Sad Bhava Bhavanam. Nana Shaktabir Abhatas. Tvam Atma Jagadishwara. Tvam Brahma Paramam Guyam. Sada Sad Bhava Bhavanam. Nana Shaktibir Abhatas. Tvam Atma Jagadishwaraha.
Tvam Brahma Paramam Guyam. Sada Sad Bhava Bhavanam.
Sada Sad Bhava Bhavanam.
Nana Shaktibir Abhatas.
Nana Shaktibir Abhatas.
Tvam Atma Jagadishwara.
Tvam Atma Jagadishwara. Tvam Brahma Paramam Guyam.
Tvam Brahma Paramam Guyam.
Sada Sad Bhava Bhavanam.
Nana Shaktibir Abhatas.
Nana Shaktibir Abhatas.
Tvam
Brahma Paramam Guhyam
Sarva-sarva-bhavanam
Anashakya-virabhatas Tvam Atma Jagarishwara. Repeat after me. Tvam, your lordship. Brahma, impersonal Brahman. Paramam, supreme. Guhyam, confidential. Sad asat bhava bhavanam,
the cause of varieties of creation.
Its cause and effect. Nana
Shakti
Bir, with varieties of potencies. Abhataha, manifest.
Tvam,
you are. Atma,
the super soul.
Jagat Ishwaraha, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. You are the supreme cause of all causes, the self-effulgent, inconceivable, impersonal Brahman, which is originally Parabrahman. You manifest various potencies in this cosmic manifestation. Please repeat after me. You are the cause of all causes.
You are the cause of all causes.
The self-effulgent, inconceivable, impersonal Brahman.
Which is originally Parabrahman.
You manifest various potencies in this cosmic manifestation. Purport by Srila
Prabhupada.
This prayer is offered to the impersonal Brahman, which consists of the effulgent rays of Parabrahman. Parabrahman is the supreme personality of Godhead. Param Brahma Paramam Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. When Lord Shiva is worshipped as Parabrahman, the worship is meant for Lord Vishnu. So this is a misconception which is often seen or sometimes seen in the Shastras among some people, that there are verses like this in the Shastras which describe Lord Shiva and even some other personalities as being supreme, but they are worship in the sense that they are the servant of the Lord who is manifesting that potency. It's described in the Brahma Samhita that the difference between Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu is that of yogurt and milk. The yogurt is nothing but milk, right? You can't make yogurt without milk. Anybody try doing that? Making yogurt without having milk? You can't do it.
Sure, why not?
How can you make yogurt without milk?
Yeah, but... No.
You can't...
Yogurt?
You need to make yogurt, you need milk.
Oh, you're right.
Right, so that means yogurt is to have yogurt. It depended upon milk. So, but yogurt is simply milk which has been transformed. So, you can for whatever you need yogurt for, you can use milk because it's the transformation of milk. But when you need milk, you can't use yogurt.
Oh, right.
Because you can turn yogurt. You can turn milk into yogurt. But yogurt cannot be turned into milk. Yogurt can't be turned into anything. Except for Shrikant. Very favorite amongst Vaishnavas, Shrikant.
You too?
So the point being is that so Lord Shiva is a transformation of Lord Vishnu. He is a manifestation of Lord Vishnu to relate with the mode of ignorance. The Tamaguna. But Lord Shiva is not
under the mode of tamaguna. He's in control of the mode of ignorance. Sometimes when it's said, for example, that some puranas are, they said it has to do with like the sattvic puranas, the rajasic puranas, and the tamasic puranas. Some people state that means that the purana is tamasic. No, the purana is not tamasic. It's meant for people who are in tamagun. Not that the purana itself is tamasic. Because there are parts, as the Garuda Purana explains, that Garuda Purana is one of the so-called sattvic puranas. But the Garuda Purana says only the parts in the Garuda, this Purana which deal with Brahman, which deal with the Supreme Personality, that part is sattvic. The rest, there's so many mundane parts. But similarly, in other Puranas, even in the so-called tamasic Puranas, there will be sattvic parts which deal with the worship of Lord Vishnu. So that distinction has to be made. So here it's describing Lord Shiva. He is the cause of all causes because his wife, in Shrishti, like I said in the Brahma Samhita, his wife is creating, maintaining, and destroying so some people are worshippers of Shakti, right? Especially in Bengal, there's so many Shaktas. Because they think, well, she's doing everything. Because she is. She's doing everything under the control of her husband. Because they're just... the materialists are worshipping Shiva and Shakti to get material benefits. But what does Lord Shiva do? He's living under a tree. He doesn't have a big palace. He lives under a tree. He has no interest in material things. And even though his wife controls the whole material universe as his servant, she controls the whole material universe, but they have no interest in material things, because they know it's totally temporary. It has it's meant to enslave us. It's meant to keep us in ignorance, keep us in bondage. So why would they want to have that? Is it the jailkeeper wants to live in the jail? They're the jailkeepers. Right? Shiva and his wife, they control the jail. They don't want to live in the jail. The jailkeeper does not live in the jail. So they're not interested in any of the material benefits or material things. Because they know better. They know what reality is. And so, in regards to the material energy, it's also described in the Brahma Samhita that Lord Shiva, what is Lord Shiva? He's actually the glance of Mahavishnu into the material energy. Shambhu. You know that? So that's how the material energy is impregnated. Lord Vishnu glances at the material energy, and that glance is itself Lord Shiva. And all the souls are then impregnated into the material energy. That's why the symbol for Lord Shiva is the linga in the yoni. Right? Transcendental linga in the yoni being the material energy, and the linga is the glance of Lord Shiva, the glance of Lord Vishnu. Also described by Baldavidya Bhushan in the Vedanta Sutra that all the names which we know of, those are all names of Lord Vishnu. Shiva, Indra, Agni, Prithvi, Prana, Vayu, all these names are names of Lord Vishnu. But some names he lends out to other people. Like he lends out Indra, his name. He lends out the name Shiva to Lord Shiva. Whereas Shiva means all auspicious. So who could be more auspicious than Vishnu? Next verse, 25. O Lord, you are the original source of Vedic literature. You are the original cause of material creation, the life force, the senses, the five elements, the three modes, and the Mahatattva. You are eternal time, determination, and the two religious systems called truth, satya, and truthfulness, ritta. You are the shelter of the syllable om, which consists of three letters, a, a, u, um. Lord Shiva is also one of the three guna avatars, so therefore he's an incarnation of Lord Krishna. That's why all these things can properly be said about him, because he's being an incarnation. And even Krishna says in the Gita that of the Rudras, I am Shiva. Right? He's agreeing. O Father of all planets, learned scholars know that fire is your mouth, the surface of the globe is your lotus feet, eternal time is your movement, all the directions are your ears, and Varuna, mast of the waters, is your tongue. Purport. In the Shruti mantras, it says, Agnihi Sarva Devata, fire is the aggregate of all the demigods. Agni is the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is through Agni, or fire, that the Lord accepts all sacrificial oblations. So here is describing the different attributes of Lord Shiva, because as a manifestation of Lord Vishnu, he has all of these attributes, specifically in regards to the control of the material universe. It's described in the Narada Pancharatrika that the real function of Lord Shiva is not to maintain the material universe, not to destroy the universe. No, I shouldn't say maintain, because Lord Vishnu maintains the universe. Not to destroy the material universe. The real function of Lord Shiva, as described in the Narada Pancharatra, is to make sure that the worship of Vishnu goes on in the world. That's what his real function is. He makes sure that everybody is worshipping Lord Vishnu, because he's a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. And it's also described in the final section of the Vedanta Sutra, where to speak of Lord Shiva, that when the soul becomes liberated, the soul, each individual Atma, has all the powers of Krishna, except that he cannot create or destroy universes. So all these potencies which you see here, they can be ascribed to practically any very great pure devotee of the Lord, because they become manifestations, because they are actually manifestations of the Lord. O Lord, the sky is your navel, the air is your breathing, the sun is your eyes, and the water is your semen. You are the shelter of all kinds of living entities, high and low. The god of the moon is your mind, and the upper planetary system is your head. So this is, you'll find this all through the Shastras, the idea that the sun is the eye of the Lord, also the moon, also described as the eye of the Lord. But here, specifically saying that the moon is your mind. Manaha. In astrology, the moon represents also the mind, manas. Everything is interrelated. It's all consistent in all of the, through all the Vedic sciences. Everything is consistent. Whatever it says in the Bhagavatam, all through the Vedas, you'll also find in the Ayurveda, you'll find the same thing in astrology, that the sun is the right eye of the Kalaparusha, the moon is the left eye of the Kalaparusha. The moon represents the manasa, the mind. The sun represents the atma, the soul of the Kalapurusha. O Lord, you are the three Vedas personified. The seven seas are your abdomen, and the mountains are your bones. All drugs, creepers, and vegetables are the hairs on your body. The Vedic mantras, like Gayatri, are the seven layers of your body. And the Vedic religious system is the core of your heart. So this similar section is also found in the second canto, the where we get the idea. What's it called? Meditating upon the, is it the Vishwarupa? Huh? In the second canto?
Is it Virat
Purusha? It's Virat Purusha, right. Meditating on the Virat Purusha, that this is a similar idea here, that we're describing all the different parts of the material creation to be a reflection of a different part of the body of Lord Shiva. For that was a meditation for materialistic persons who are what would be considered technically called as pantheists. Like, that they see the whole world as God. But they make the mistake of thinking that since everything is God's energy, everything is God. That's not what Krishna explains. They make the mistake. Yes, it's all Krishna's energy, but it's not all Krishna. It's his energy. I am manifested through everything, but everything is not me. Krishna explains that in the Bhagavad Gita. I think it's the 9th or 7th chapter. Yeah.
Well, where would that fall into? Is it Paramatma or Brahman or neither?
What?
A conception like this pantheistic view.
Which falls into what?
Like, is it Paramatma realization or like? Because I remember Shiva.
It's not Paramatma realization. No. Neither it's Brahman realization. It's an elementary. They at least accept that there's God, but not that there is a person who's God.
Because I remember Srila Prabhupada said in the book where it's like at least they worship God by seeing everything. So it's like,
yeah, it's a because it's a gradual process. As it's described in the Gita, Bahu Janmanam Ante Gnana Vanman Prapadite Basu Devam Saramiti Samahapasidova. At the conclusion of many, many lives, that person understands that Basudev is everything. Such a great soul is very hard to achieve. So the beauty of the Vedic system, unlike other systems, is that it can encompass everybody. Like I was explaining before, there are sattvic puranas, rajasic puranas, tamasic puranas. Not that the puranas are tamasic, but they're meant for people who are in tamaguna. There are puranas meant for people in rajaguna, and those who are in sattvic. And everybody can get into the Vedic stream, which eventually brings you to a certain point. So even if you only can conceive of the whole world as God, in a pantheistic view, you're making progress. In other systems, they'll burn you at the stake for such a view, or they'll cut your head off if you have such views. If you don't only this way, then you're finished. They'll kill you. But the Vedas, they're not any. Somebody worships Lord Shiva, he'll come in here, he'll pay obeisances. Right? He'll pay obeisances. Because they respect. They like that. We also respect the Brahma Madhva Sampradaya. We respect the Devas, but we don't worship them. In the Madhva Sampradaya, they respect the Devas and they worship them. In the Sri Sampradaya, they neither respect the Devas nor do they worship them. But they they at least accept the existence. The reason they don't respect the Devas is because they're upset that in that battle, I think it was between Banasura and Krishna, that Shiva fought against Banasura. Lord Shiva fought against Krishna, and yeah, Kartik and his side, they were, you know, Ganesh and Skanda. So they keep a transient grudge against Lord Shiva for that, that he fought against Krishna. So they didn't accept, but they recognize that they exist. They just they're sort of keeping a grudge, Lakshmi, because they're on the Sri Sampradaya, so they're from the wife of Krishna. So, you know, wives can sometimes keep grudges on behalf of the husband. He insulted my husband. So it's like that.
I have another question.
Hmm?
I have a question again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, in the Bhagavad Gita 4:11, Krishna says that they all follow my path. Like, everyone follows my path in all respects. Would that be considered part of the, like, because isn't everything all of Krishna's path anyways? But what does Krishna
do? As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Well, you have to be very careful about that, because then there becomes a misconception of the fool. That all paths lead to, you know, all that. But then that's what they'll say, you know. But that's not true. If you want to go, if I want to get down to Queen Street, where the Canadian passport office is, you know, I just can't hop on the thing and end up in Downsview. That's not going to get me. I have to know where I'm going. I have to get on the right train, going to the right destination. So yes, Krishna, everything, if you actually follow the Vedas, according to the Vedic prescriptions, then you eventually, over the cycle of many lifetimes, you will get to the right destination. But not that you make up your own philosophy. Some people make up their own philosophy. You know, like the Swami Krishna and all them, they make up their own philosophy, which is not Vedic, actually. Or, you know, Advaitavada. It's not that's not the philosophy. It's against the proper Siddhanta. Does that answer your question?
So, how does that relate to the pantheists? Like, the pantheists?
Well, it's mentioned right here. It's mentioned in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's a preliminary meditation that will eventually get them to understand. You know, like Srila Prabhupada said, you know, simply, like many people ask, well, can you see God? Yes, God is, if you have the eyes to see. I am the taste in water. I am the light of the sun. I am the, you know, of the moon. Amongst the aquatics, I am the shark. You can see God everywhere if you have the eyes to see. Krishna explains how you can see Him. So then this is a preliminary understanding, preliminary meditation for people to begin to, at least they accept the concept of God. But that's according to Shastra. That's according to Shastra. What others are saying, Shankaracharya, and at least Shankaracharya was a Pakkamayavadi. Then you have these others who are completely not even Pakkamayavadis. They're, you know, very bogus Mayavadis. It's not according to Shastra. You have another question?
I remember one thing from that canto. Srila Prabhupada said that this conception is meant for those who don't realize anything beyond material nature.
Yeah, because they're just beginning.
So then it's okay.
Well, at that level.
At that level,
you, college, you know, in grade school, you're learning A, B, C, you know, like that. And somebody in college, they've also known A, B, C. But should they now take classes A, B, C? No, you don't go retrograde. It's a progression. You start at the bottom and you go to the top. And now when you get to a certain level, well, they're also... No, they never cleaned that corner, I see that. That corner was not cleaned.
It wasn't clean. That's not a spider web. It's something...
Oh, you have a very active cobweb maker over there.
It's a wire. It's not a spider web.
Oh, it's a wire?
No. Yeah.
Okay, it looks like cobwebs.
No.
Okay. We don't, for example, in Vedic culture, Krishna's Vedic culture, Brahmins have certain standards and Shudras have other standards. So should we say that, or because, or Kshatriyas, they are allowed to drink or they're allowed to eat meat because they go in the forest and kill animals. That means we should also do that? If you've advanced to a certain level, then if you want to maintain that level of advancement, then you should maintain the standard. Not that you go, get higher. Like some of my Indian godbrothers, they're explaining how when Srila Prabhupada, like when he was in London and he met the Bengali devotee, and he was preaching to them, he expected them to maintain higher standards than his Western disciples because they knew better. They were already trained. He was training his Western disciples. They didn't know anything. They didn't know how to clean their behind. And from the very beginning, he had to teach us everything. Whereas in Indians, it's like at a very young age, he was immediately taught how to do things which Srila Prabhupada had to teach adults how to do. He had to teach us how to go to the toilet. Whereas he learned when he was very small. All these are just all cultural things which are learned. So should we... it depends which standard we want. We want to emulate a higher standard or as an excuse just to be lazy. So, well, they can do it. Why can't we do that? Or should the Prabhupada let his Western disciples do that? So that should become the standard for everybody. Allowing that because he knew that they were backward. They were a backward class. They didn't know anything. They were, barbarians. They were cultural barbarians. We're cultural barbarians. We didn't know. But that should not become the standard. You have to progress from that level to a higher standard. Otherwise it can become an excuse just to, later on we'll see that Lord Shiva, he drank poison. And that they say, oh, Lord Shiva, he takes ganja. You know what ganja is? So people will use that as an excuse. When Bhakti Siddhanta, when he was very ill, he still went to Mangal, even though he was very ill, he went to Mangal Artik, he did everything. Why? Because if I don't do that, then some people use it as an excuse not to follow. They will look for anything, excuse not to follow. Because we're crooked. People are more or less crooked-minded. They'll look for any little excuse to deviate. One friend of mine, his son, he heard at Jagannath Puri, or there's some persons, they worshippers of Baladev, he took Varuni juice, like that, and they offer him some ganja. So he started taking, Balaram is doing it, he started taking ganja. And then he jumped off, he became mentally disturbed. He jumped off the lotus building in Mayapur, 6 floors, taking ganja. Because some people were, there are deviants, apasampradayas, people who, they're not following the siddhanta, they're not following the proper sadachar. In the name of religion, in the name of, dharma, like it's described in the Hitopadesh, or in the Panchatantra, the lion, it was a tiger, he was becoming old, so he couldn't catch animals. So then what did he do? He pretended he'd become a sadhu, that he was going to be a vegetarian, right? So that the animals would get close to him. He pretended to be a sadhu, because he couldn't catch animals. So he said, now I'm getting old in life, So I'm going to become a tapasvi, and I'll, you know, so now I'm not eating any more animals. So then, at first nobody believed him, and then, you know, then they started believing. Then they got, of course, then he ate a bunch. Then he ate them all. So he's a pretender. So this is not. So even in the shastras, like in the Niti Shastra, they talk about bogus sadhus. So this is not a new thing. Right, Prabhu? Is bogus sadhus a new thing? No. It's always been that way. There's always been cheaters. Any other questions? O Lord, the five important Vedic mantras are represented by your five faces, from which the 38 most celebrated Vedic mantras have been generated. Your Lordship, being celebrated as Lord Shiva, is self-illuminated. You are directly situated as the Supreme Truth known as Param Atma.
Now,
the five mantras mentioned in this connection are as follows: Purusha, Aghora, Sadyojata, Vamadeva, and Ishana. These five mantras are within the category of 38 special Vedic mantras chanted by Lord Shiva, who is therefore celebrated as Shiva or Mahadev. Another reason why Lord Shiva is called Shiva, which means all auspicious, is that he is self-illuminated, exactly like Lord Vishnu, who is the Paramatma. Because Lord Shiva is directly an incarnation of Lord Vishnu, he is situated as Lord Vishnu's direct representative. This fact is corroborated by a Vedic mantra: Patim Vishvas Yatmashvaram Shashvatam Shivam Achutam. The Supersoul is called by many names, of which Maheshwara, Shiva, and Achutya are especially mentioned. So Achutya is, of course, the name of Krishna. So this is what so it's saying here, that the Paramatma is called by many names, of which Maheshwar, Shiva, and Achutya are especially mentioned. So these are different. Okay, that's interesting. So here explains, Srila Prabhupada explains more why Lord Shiva is identified, why all these glories of Lord Shiva are there, because he is a direct incarnation of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, it's appropriate. And he's a powerful incarnation, not like, you know, among the aquatics, I am the shark. Shark is very... I wouldn't want to meet a shark in the water. But he's not the same. He's a representative of Lord Vishnu amongst aquatics, but not the same as Lord Shiva. You couldn't say about a shark that he is, you know, that he's the Veda personified. But you could say that about Lord Shiva, because he is a direct incarnation of the Lord. The only difference is like between milk and yogurt. O Lord Girisha, since the impersonal Brahman effulgence is transcendental to the material modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, the various directors of this world certainly cannot appreciate it or even know where it is. It is not understandable even to Lord Brahma, Vishnu, or the King of Heaven, Mahendra. The Brahma Jyoti is actually the effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I said it in the Brahma Samhita. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagado andakoti kotish vishesha vasudadi vibhuti bhinam tad brahma nishkalam anantam asesha bhutam govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is empowered by the great power, endowed with great power. The glowing effulgence of his transcendental form is the impersonal Brahman, which is absolute, complete, and unlimited, and which displays the varieties of countless planets, with their different opulences in millions of universes. Although the impersonal feature of the Absolute is an expansion of the rays of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he does not need to take care of the impersonalists who enter the Brahmajyoti. So first of all, it's the difference between the Brahmajyoti and Krishna is an important one, because many, you could say maybe the, since it's the entry level into transcendence, this idea of the one, of the light, you know, that the Brahmajyoti, the distinction between that and Krishna has to be seen. People think that this is it. Many people think that that's it, that Krishna is a manifestation of the Brahmajyoti. They'll say that Krishna is, that's what the Mayavadis say, that actually the supreme truth is the impersonal, and Krishna is the manifestation of that. That's why they're called Mayavadis. Even Krishna's body is Maya. Everything is Maya. So the form is Maya, but it's not true. It's that the Brahmajyoti is dependent upon Krishna, not the other way around. This light bulb is giving light. Not the light is giving a light bulb. Which is the light dependent upon the light bulb, or the light bulb dependent upon the light? Which is it? Are we seeing, you know, light bulbs being manifested from the light, or the other way around? So Krishna, he is the source. Brahmanohi pratishtaham. I am the source of the Brahman. Krishna explains in the end of the 14th chapter of the Gita. I am the foundation. Brahmanohi pratishtaham. That the light is dependent upon the light bulb. The sunlight is dependent upon the sun. The Brahmajyoti is emanating from Krishna, not the other way around. As the Mayavadis say, they say that the Krishna is an emanation of the Brahman. They got it completely reversed. And that the formless is supreme, and the form is Maya. Although the impersonal feature of the Absolute is an expansion of the rays of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he does not need to take care of the impersonalists who enter the Brahmajyoti. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 9.4, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina. In my impersonal feature, I pervade this entire universe. So you're sitting on Krishna. Your sari, your dhoti, is made from Krishna's energy. You're sitting on the couch. The skin in our body, the blood circulating through our veins, the eyeballs that you're looking through, this is all Krishna's energy. The whole universe which we are located in is Krishna's energy. You know, the foot that we're stepping on the floor with, you know, we say, oh, that's Krishna's energy. We shouldn't, you know. But then the foot that we're stepping on the floor with is also Krishna's energy. It's all Krishna's energy. And even our own soul is Krishna's energy. But it's different. There's the superior energy and inferior energy. This is all the inferior energy. The soul is the superior energy of Krishna. Yes?
So what does he mean by my unmanifested form? What is that referring to?
His energy. His energy is the unmanifested form. It's all through. But he's just the person who's at, you know, there's a Niagara Falls and there's a power plant is there. Somebody's controlling the power plant. That energy, but the energy goes through the whole province of Ontario. Right? Let's finish off this one purport. But this whole, everything that we see, everything that we feel, everything is Krishna's energy. Thus, the Avyakta Murti, the impersonal feature, is certainly an expansion of Krishna's energy. Mayavadis who prefer to merge into this Brahman effulgence worship Lord Shiva. The mantras referred to in text 29 are called Mukhani Panchopanishad Tanesha. Mayavadis take all these mantras seriously in worshipping Lord Shiva. These mantras are as follows. Tat Purushaya Vidmihi Santye Mahadevaya Dimihi Vidyaye Tano Rudra Patishtaye Pachodayat Dritye Aghare Vyas Tamaha. There's lots. I'm not going to repeat them all. There's 38 of them. The impersonal Brahman is unknown even to the other directors of the material creation, including Lord Brahma, Lord Indra, and even Lord Vishnu. This does not mean, however, that Lord Vishnu is not omniscient. Lord Vishnu is omniscient. But he does not need to understand what is going on in his all-pervading expansion. Therefore, in Bhagavad, he does not need to know. There was an interesting, I read it in someplace else, but I also heard it in one recent conversation about Henry Ford. Henry Ford had made some statements, some controversial statements, and then he was being attacked in the media, and one of the attacks was that he was an ignorant man. So he sued the newspapers for making that claim. So they defended the suit, and they was in court, and they were to prove that he was ignorant. They put him in the stand and they started asking him all kinds of questions, you know, just to test his knowledge, his knowledgeability of different things, you know, like what is the average rainfall in the Amazon basin and all kind of questions like that. And he listened to all the questions and he didn't answer the questions. Then he responded and said, "This is all completely foolish. In my office, on my desk, I have a row of buttons. If I have a question that I need an answer to, I just press one of these buttons and in comes a bunch of PhDs who I hire, my employees, and I ask them the question and they answer me. I don't need to fill my mind with useless information. You know, I'm thinking about how to expand my company. So whenever I need something, I call them and they answer for me." The same way Krishna does not need to, you know, he is such a sankalpa. Just by simply desiring, it all happens. He doesn't have to be concerned about what's going on. It has happened. Just like when you drive your car, do you need to know how the pistons are firing? In fact, Krishna, Srila Prabhupada was mentioning how, if you want to understand how Krishna, how he works, how he thinks, we have to understand our own self. Like, for example, how Krishna has material energy and spiritual energy. Just look in your own body. See from your fingernail. This is all material. It's completely, there's no, the concept of material energy, there's no feeling, there's no consciousness in it. Whereas spiritual energy, there is consciousness. So if you look at your own fingernail, your fingernail is dead. Whereas just right there, then very up to it, then that's life. So in the same way, getting now to the point, is that we're in control of our body. We don't know, you know, how the digestive system is working. We don't know, are we saying like, controlling, okay, heart beat, you know, beat again. Are you doing that? You know, make sure you're beating. keeping watch that your heart is beating all the time. It's just going on. It's called, in medical science, called the autonomic nervous system. It's all these things are going without us having to be aware of it. We don't need to be aware of it. It works. It's our body, you know, the nervous system, the digestive system, excretory system. When they're saying, okay, now you have to gallbladder, you have to give out, you know, 5 more milliliters of gall. You know, we don't do like that. Similarly, Krishna doesn't have to be aware of all the little goings on. He has people doing that for him. His energies are doing that. Just that we don't have to be, you know, telling our intestines how much time, how many times it should contract, and all these different things. We don't have to do that. Lord Vishnu is omniscient, but he does not need to understand what is going on in his all-pervading expansion, because he has servants doing that for him. So we do not have to be aware of all how our digestive system is working, how the nerves are working in our body. We don't have to be aware. We get in and it works for us. Because we are minute representatives. We're minute expansions of Lord Krishna. Therefore in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that although everything is an expansion of Him, Maya Tatam Idam Sarvam, He does not need to take care of everything. Na Chaham Tvesh Avashtitaha. Since there are various directors like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Indra. That's their job, doing that kind of thing. So, any questions? Any questions? All right. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.